We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Command Center podcast, home of the biggest edge in Dynasty fantasy football. My name is Travis May, and I'm joined by Curtis Patrick. We are the Devy and Dynasty coordinators for RotoViz still, and tonight we are going to be talking about second-year running backs that you should be getting excited about. Talking about some players, we'll talk about Saquon, we'll talk about the obvious names, but we want to get into some names that maybe didn't flash too much as well, so we can help you navigate those startup drafts and navigate some trades before camps get going here in July. And I can't even believe it's June already, which is, OTAs are pretty much wrapped up. We're heading into the suspense, the calm before the storm. But Curtis, before we jump into all these running backs and talking about, who you should, all of our listeners should be getting excited about, I have to know, how did your son's team do with baseball today?
Oh, man. Coach Pitch, we played in the rain tonight, man. A bunch of 7 and 8 year olds getting muddy, stomping in the mud puddles outside the dugout, trying to manage people keeping their hats and their gloves dry between innings. It was just, it was a little bit of a circus. So
Sounds super competitive.
Oh yeah, man. These kids get 110% of my effort. It's a lot of fun, but we did not bring home the W. But the junior Patrick was 3 for 3 with a single, a double, a triple, and 3 runs. So it wasn't without. Nice. His doing that helped us fall short today. So that was fun. It was definitely a proud dad moment.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's good to just see your son just have fun and succeed while he's while he's at it. But
he was scolded. He was scolded for losing. I mean, let's just be honest. only winners tough in this household. So we had to have a talk when I put him in bed. But that there you go.
Well, a little bit of tough love, I guess, but whatever. But back to the running backs. But actually, before we even get too ahead of ourselves on the running backs, let's hear a word from FFPC. How about that?
Okay. Well, to our listeners, you're getting familiar with this now, but it's been a decade since the FFPC filled their first Dynasty League, and they're the world's largest Dynasty League commissioner now. They've got leagues all the way up to $5,000 annual buy-in. FFPC leagues are active and competitive. A single league has never folded. You draft that team, you nurture that team, you build that beautiful dynasty, just giant, You don't have to worry about that league folding. They're going to find an owner for that orphan. Brand new startup dynasty leagues are forming right now, starting at $77 and up in standard Superflex and dynasty best ball formats. There are $77 levels, $250, $500, $750, $1,250, $2,500, and $5,000 buy-ins. FFPC also has plenty of other great redraft formats, including best ball drafts that are filling daily. Go to myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com. It's the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football. All new subscribers to the Dynasty Command Center Slack also get a $35 league credit, and you can apply that to any of the Dynasty League levels that we talked about in the ad there. So go to dynastycommandcenter.com for more information on joining our Slack.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's just start off with some of the RBs that we're going to be talking about tonight and some of the second year players. I mean, we spent a lot of time this spring talking about the rookies, and we'll get to more of that as well. But I mean, year two is when it's a defining year. And really, there's a bunch of recent data that shows, you know, it's we used to wait for the third year breakout for some of these positions, but really it's the second year breakout that if they're ever going to, oftentimes it's year two that we see a player make their greatest impact to really come into their own, into the league, really come to full speed and actually put up some of their best production in their entire career. And so obviously we can kick it off and just, I mean, even putting the show sheet together, just talking about how ridiculous of a year Saquon had. I mean, in his very first year, he had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, 120 plus targets. I mean, there's not really much room for him to go any higher than he's already going to. And there's no room for him to even go any higher in drafts either, because he's kind of basically been the 1.01 all spring, according to the data over at RotoViz, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, actually, in FFPC, there's been 45 startups year-to-date, and Saquon's gone first in over 40 of those startups. The only other players that even went first were Alvin Kamara, and then there was actually this one rogue who decided he wanted to start a 1QB dynasty team with Patrick Mahomes. So we don't advocate for doing that on this pod, but obviously a huge Mahomes fan. It might even have been Mahomes himself. Just probably starting his own dynasty team there. So that would make a lot of sense. But yeah, Saquon, I mean, geez, I mean, what can you say? And I mean, clearly the team's committing to just driving that offense through him. They're really kind of building a team that looks like it's going to have to live and die by Yak. I mean, it's the dump offs to Saquon. They've got Golden Tate. They've got Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram. These are all guys that are athletic in the open field, and this should be an interesting offense. But I don't know what else we can add on Saquon other than, you know, clearly just a guy that can bolster any dynasty squad. He's probably worth any premium that you would pay. You know, I don't know that I actually get a lot of questions about buying Saquon, but when people come to me and ask, hey, is XYZ too much to pay for, you know, insert elite player's name here? And the answer is often, no, that's not too much to pay. I mean, these players come with a premium because of what they can do week in, week out in your lineup. So Saquon, the 101 in startups, 101 in our hearts. He's the RB1 over in the road of his dynasty rankings on the site that you can see now. And yeah, I mean, what else can you say? I mean, I guess in terms of growth, maybe he might even be capped out just even on the muscle mass. And if he's not careful, he's not going to be able to wear jeans anymore. I mean, some of these pictures with this guy are just insane. He's going to be wearing leggings everywhere he goes. So,
well, they'll be like jeggings.
You know? Or he's gonna have like Mick Jagger. He's gonna have like mesh sewn into the bottom of his jeans, so just let it breathe.
That makes sense.
Saquon. I mean, geez. If anything, I would worry maybe that, you know, that type of target volume isn't sustainable, but it doesn't take, you know, overall RB1 out of his range of possible outcomes this year for sure.
Yeah, I don't think that is out of his range of outcomes at all. Although, given ADP, it's almost as if everyone thinks all the running backs are going to be the running back one, because startup ADP is looking like, you know, about 40 running backs are going off the board just way, way too early, at least compared to where they were going years prior. But speaking of, let's move on to a couple other second-year guys, and like Nick Chubb. I mean, he's another guy going really early, ranked pretty highly as well. Even like we were talking about Kerryon Johnson, those two pretty early, given what they've already done and given what we think their ceiling is moving forward. So are you advocating for buying either one of those guys?
I think Nick Chubb's priced where he needs to be. We've got him ranked as running back 12. His ADP is running back 9. I mean, I think that he's certainly a dynasty running back 1. I do think he deserves to be a low-end dynasty running back 1 because I think his involvement in the passing game is unlikely to grow past where it was last year. You know, obviously his role grew during the year. He still only ended up with 29 targets despite, you know, basically seeing every meaningful running back touch over the latter half of the season. There's just too many other weapons in Cleveland, and I don't think that based on game scripts they're going to have, you know, they're not going to be the Steelers passing almost 700 times. That's not what Cleveland's going to need to be. That's not what's going to make them run. Nick Chubb's value is going to be in touchdown upside in that offense. And that's probably, you know, that's really all that you need to be thinking about. I mean, between Kareem Hunt being added to the roster, Duke Johnson, they have two other guys that are both better pass catchers out of the backfield than he is. And, you know, just have an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position and David Njoku. So I just don't think that with all the efficient options that you have in that offense, passing the ball to Nick Chubb, probably not something that's going to be high on Freddie Kitchens' list or really something that Baker Mayfield's thinking a lot about. So you're going to have to deal with the touchdown variation, and you're just, you know, hoping that he can have a year, you know, where he rushes for 1,400 yards, 1,500 yards. I think a good way to maybe think about Nick Chubb, he's not this level of talent, but in terms of his production, think about him maybe like Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, AP, if he had a year where he stayed healthy and got the touchdowns, you know, he's going to be pretty productive. But over the course of his career, he actually didn't give the fantasy value that you actually would think he did because of injury and because of the receptions never really being there. I think people would typically be surprised if they went back and looked at what his year-end finishes were in fantasy. So that's kind of my take on Nick Chubb. I like him. Not going out of my way to buy him. I think he's fairly priced. So if you disagree with me, think he's got some target volume upside, feel free to go out and get him. But I'm not really falling all over myself to acquire Nick Chubb at this point. What are you doing with him? No.
I think he's right about where he needs to be, if not just a little bit ahead. I think there's a little bit of concern, like with and maybe there's not much concern with Kareem Hunt. You know, I think there's a lot of disagreement I've seen. I get questions on what to do with Kareem Hunt. I get questions on what to do with Chubb. I get questions on what to do with any of the Browns, because I think that's just a situation we think we know what to expect, but we want to prepare for the worst in terms of our favorite player in that offense. Like, does it really cap, you know, other players' ceilings just because there's so many other good players? And I think even if Chubb was a pretty capable receiving back, I don't think that he would see a bunch of volume given the number of targets they have. And so that's my only reservation, is his ceiling might not be where a lot of people want it to be as a receiver, or maybe like total yards from scrimmage. And that's okay. I think he can score. I think he can find the end zone a dozen times this year and be just fine. But Kerryon Johnson is another guy that's way up there. His average draft position is like, what, 26, 27, somewhere in that range, you know, running back, you know, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in that range. And yeah, I think, you know, people want to project a lot with these guys. And the Lions brought in Daryl Bevel to be the, you know, offensive coordinator, and he likes to run the ball. So they think that he's going to be, you know, committing to Kerryon. But really, and really, when Kerryon was healthy, he was about the running back 16, 17 in that range, depending on your format. So there's reason to believe in Kerryon. But there's also, you know, concerns with injury. I mean, even dating back to his time at Auburn, he did struggle to stay healthy when he was given a huge workload. And really, that's the position as a whole. But somebody kind of coming off a couple years in a row of that, where he just hasn't been able to finish or been 100%. Throughout his playing time is a little bit concerning. So I think I was Kerryon's biggest fan coming in, but I don't feel comfortable like getting close to, you know, second round startup value with him. So as much as I even root for Auburn, but as much as I want to root for and acquire Kerryon, it'd be really hard to do that, looks like right about now.
Kerryon's a tough evaluation, and he kind of gets a raw deal because, I mean, there is an extremely, extremely clear tier break after the top 12 running backs in Dynasty startups right now. James Conner's 12, Kerryon Johnson's 13.
Yeah, that's, I think we talked about that last week. It's kind of obvious there.
Yeah, we talked about Conner, and I think the value that people are assigning to running backs, obviously, everyone's wanting to find, you know, who can bolster my fantasy scoring upside each week through touch volume and not necessarily through, you know, wide receiver scoring volatility. But getting the RB2s right could be the key to fantasy success over the next 2 years. And I mean, but let's just read down through the RB2s quickly. And you can kind of see why Kerryon is at 13, because we at least, yeah, what we did see of him, he looked effective, even though we haven't seen a lot. I mean, Kerryon's 13, you got Josh Jacobs 14, Leonard Fournette is 15. Then we're all of a sudden quickly to Marlon Mack and Aaron Jones, guys who lack draft pedigree.
Yeah.
They're in reasonably good offenses, but they lack the draft pedigree. So you can question maybe the team's commitment to them if they were to falter or to, if they were to be injured and a replacement looked good in their stead, would they get their job back? Derrick Henry, 18. Sonny Michel, 19. Darius Geis, 20. He's never played a snap despite being a second year. Damian Williams, 21. Devontae Freeman, 22. David Montgomery, 23. Miles Sanders, 24. So, I mean, the whole thing is just unsettled, you know? And so it's hard for me to argue with somebody
range.
That... the whole thing is just wild. So the optics are weird. I mean, it feels weird to say Kerryon Johnson, RB13. You know, it looks weird when I see that in ranks. It looks weird when I see it in ADP, positional ADP anyway. But it's also hard to argue with it because I think you can make great cases for all of these guys that I just read off. I mean, maybe not all of them. I mean, for half of those guys, of those dozen guys, I think you can make a reasonable case that they deserve that running back 13 ranking. So, you know, I'm with you on Kerryon. I was reasonably high on him last year. I think I had him rated somewhere in the late first round in my own rankings. He was somewhere around maybe 11 or 12 in my rankings after the NFL draft. And coming into the draft, I think there were some questions. And when the draft capital was there and everyone was like, man, the Lions are a great spot. They'll make him a bell cow. Well, you know, he looked effective, but we don't have anything to give us a hint that he's going to end up being a bell cow. Now, if he is a bell cow, he could very well be deserving of 13 or could even go higher. But they went out and signed C.J. Anderson. They still have Theo Riddick, who is still involved in the backfield from a receiving perspective. You know, so I just don't know. It feels like he's priced at a ceiling. And I feel like anyone who was ranked at running back 13 right now would be priced at their ceiling. So
yeah,
you know,
that's about right. That whole range. So he just happens to be sitting up at the top of it.
Yeah. So it's not you know, poor Kerryon's fault. It is what it is. So
yeah. And seriously, he was my favorite running back as far as value. I had more shares of him and DJ Moore than any other rookie last year, just because I was ecstatic. So I hope he proves us both wrong and just kills this year, because I'd love to see that for him. And heck, the Lions fans deserve something to be excited about legitimately. So let's hope for some good for them too. But really, you know, there's a bunch of guys who have already proved themselves. We've kind of covered the obvious names that have definitely proven themselves. But there's got to be some more that we can get to that maybe a little bit further down the line as far as production goes from last year. But we might be able to get excited about them here soon. But before we talk about that,
I got to stop you. I got to stop you before we get to that group. We got to talk about Sonny Michel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've got to talk about Sonny Michel. We got excited on Kerryon Johnson.
Yes,
we did. We've got to talk about last year's first round pick for the New England Patriots. And Sonny Michel had 209 carries, 931 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Obviously, did not play in all 16 games. He had a whopping 11 targets, caught 7 of those balls. And the RotoViz team has him ranked at running back 18 by ADP. He is running back 19 with an ADP of 40.3 in FFPC startups. I got big problems with Sonny Michel being ranked in this range. I don't like it. I think the Patriots know more than we know. That's come to light that you know, he had a what, an arthroscopic procedure, and should be ready for training camp. That news dropped today. The team drafted Damian Harris on day two. Damian Harris is a pretty good running back prospect. Not a great one, pretty good one. You know, look at Sony Michel's injury history. You know, he tore his ACL in high school. He had a grade one knee sprain in the 2017 SEC championship game. He had bursitis last summer and had to have his knee drained, missed the beginning of the season. Left knee injury in October, and then now the knee scope. And it's just really troubling for somebody that's ranked so highly that the team has clearly gone so far out of their way to hedge on just a year after drafting him, with actually a lot of similarities, right? I mean, I feel like there's a reasonable amount of overlap between Damian Harris's game and Sony Michel's game.
Mm-hmm. There really is.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I mean, it feels like he's drafted to be the direct, I mean, maybe even the direct replacement. And I was asked about Sony Michel and Dynasty Command Center early this morning, you know, how should we be treating him? Is he a buy on this knee scope news? And I mean, my answer, you know, it's kind of like insert sad trombone here, but I think I'm going to just view him like Jay Ajayi from a couple years ago. I just think you have to look at him as he's a ticking time bomb on the knee. It dates back to, you know, being 17 years old at this point. I mean, he basically's had something going on with these knees every year or all but like 1 year.
Nobody ever mentions that really when they talk about Sony. When they talk up Sony, they're like, oh, man, he almost had a 1,000-yard season and he wasn't even, you know, really used the whole year. And so they want to insert, like, obviously he's going to have an even bigger role this year. And I'm not really sure that that's the case. And if we know the Patriots, that's almost certainly not the case.
One, and that doesn't even matter. That doesn't even matter either, man, because let's think about it. Like, what's always been the knock on the Patriots running back is that it's so game script sensitive when they're going to produce anyway. Yeah. So like using year-end counting stats on the New England Patriots for any back that's not named James White is pretty much pointless. So, I mean, at least White, you know, can kind of scratch and claw his way to, you know, 8 or 9 PPR, even in a game where they don't pass a lot just because of the way that he scores his points. So I just think it's too high for a back on the Patriots who primarily scores by taking handoffs, and particularly for a guy with this type of injury history. So yeah, that's my take on Sony. Of the guys that we're talking about, of the guys that produced, and if we want to say that all four of these guys kind of broke out in their rookie season, I don't see a lot of positivity in Sony Michel's future, at least in the way that I'm going to handle that. I mean, do you think there's any reason to be buying him at all? Is he a sell?
No, not at that price. I think he's definitely a sell for me. I'm in the same camp, and I even coming into last year, I was just thinking, you know what? He's on the Patriots, and if he has a slow start at all, he's going to be one of those guys that before you know it, it's like, oh, he's already old now. Okay, I guess we can move on. Like, because he's already, you know, he's 24, and if he doesn't absolutely blow us out of the water this year, then we're not going to see any return on a value of where he's going right now. So if he doesn't blow us out of the water this year, he's already 25, and then we have the 2020 running back class that comes in, and people instantly forget about Sony, and his price is depressed. So there's too many ways for me that his value just goes down after this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's 24 with the knees of a 44-year-old. I mean,
yeah.
I don't like it. I just don't like it. Stay away. I don't know. You know, unfortunately, with the news of the scope coming out, I think it could be difficult to sell. And I think that if we were having this conversation in 30 days, we will probably see some ADP correction. We're probably going to see some rankings correction. So, I mean, we're giving this to you, you know, kind of hot off the press, and there hasn't been a lot of chance to adjust. If you were somebody who was a Sony Michel fan and haven't had a chance to maybe take into account this new injury news. There you go. We like Saquon, obviously. Chubb, we're a little bit lukewarm, think he's appropriately valued. Carry on, it just drawn the short straw or unlucky position of being ranked so highly despite the lack of production in a cohort where there is a lot of upside. And Sony gets the garlic, silver bullet, and Holy Cross treatment from us. Stay away.
All of it. Well, I was trying to get to the next part of the podcast earlier, but was leaving out Michelle because he was forgettable, as we got to. But before we do, tell our listeners how they can get some free money.
$25, y'all. $25. That's what you get if you make a deposit over at Yahoo Daily Fantasy and use our promo code VIZ25. So take that $25, turn it into a very much larger number by playing in their GPP contests, which have max entry limits of 10 per player, or playing some quick match head-to-heads. It's going to pair you up with a user with a similar history win record. So there's a fairness element there that we don't see on some of the other bigger platforms. So very unique offering from Yahoo Daily Fantasy Sports. Been having a lot of success with that myself, playing some of the PGA games. If you haven't had a chance to check out the weekly Yahoo Daily Fantasy PGA pod with myself and RotoViz's Matt Jones, you can get some of our favorite plays for the U.S. Open this week, or come back next week and listen to our picks there. So yeah, you can try your hand by going to yahoo.com/dailyfantasy today and starting your journey. You could be the next big winner.
Yeah. Yes, you can definitely, get on some free money. But so Rashad Penny is a guy who kind of almost got to the tier of real production this last year, but, he's outside that tier. His ADP is still pretty high. I think right now it's around 64. Running back 26 or so in that range. And, you know, Chris Carson, there was news that he had some work done. And so there's hope that he might come into this season and finally get some real work. And I think Curtis is all in. I think, Curtis, you're all in on believing that Penny's going to take the job. Is that right?
I'm all in on Rashad Penny being very fantasy relevant and getting a chance to show us why the team drafted him in the first round. I don't think he can fully shut out Chris Carson. I think the Seattle Seahawks run the ball so much that it's going to be a two-back system, and those two backs are going to get a lot of touches. But let's cut up this backfield a little bit. Mike Davis is gone. Mike Davis went to Chicago. Mike Davis had 112 carries last year. Mike Davis had 42 targets. I had to look twice. I did not remember that from last year. He had 42 targets. So we've got, you know, 154 vacated touches for Mike Davis. And Chris Carson already had 270 some odd touches. So, I mean, he can't stay healthy. The team isn't very invested in him. I don't think he's going above a 270 touch number. I mean, that would be insane to me. I think Rashad Penny absorbs the majority, if not every, Mike Davis touch. If we give him Mike Davis's backfield market share from last year, and we give him those touches and add it to what he already had on his own, he's going to have about 200 touches or 200 carries, excuse me, and over 50 targets. I mean, you show me a back that gets 200 carries and 50 targets, and I'll show you a running back too in PPR. So, I'm very in on Rashad Penny. I think he's underpriced based off of his upside because, I mean, to me, that's the floor. The floor is the 200 carries and the 50 targets. Unless the Seahawks all of a sudden become a passing team, the Seahawks aren't going to be a passing team. Brian Schottenheimer in 10 years of being an OC, has his team even ranked in the top half of NFL teams in passing attempts. They're not going to pass the ball. They're going to keep games short, and they're going to pick their punches, and they're going to be efficient. They're going to strike quick when they do pass the ball. They've got big play wide receivers. They already have one named Tyler Lockett. They add another one named DK Metcalf. So Rashad Penny is going to get his chances. Rashad Penny, if you put Rashad Penny in the 2019 running back class, he's hands down the best prospect in the class. Agree, disagree?
Definitely. No, I think you can't really argue with that because nobody had any profile worth being a first round running back. And the only reason that Josh Jacobs was is because the Raiders were picking in that slot. So, I mean, profile wise, you really can't argue with Penny kind of slotting in as the running back one this year. And obviously it's a weaker running back class. I think some people just are concerned with the idea that, you know, even if it is like a two running back system, like you said, that, you know, that they got to look at last year's stats and realize that the Seahawks basically They ran the ball 534 times, which doesn't really happen. Like every single year, you might have one or two max like teams that are above 500 carries typically. And last year, the only other team that was Lamar Jackson's Ravens, and that's just because his rush attempts were absolutely bonkers. The third place team in rush attempts was at 478, so they almost had 60 more carries than any other team besides the Ravens, which don't even hardly count. So it's a weird offense. They were without Doug Baldwin, you know, for, you know, basically they never really had the real Doug Baldwin, I guess, like ever the whole season, I felt like. And so some people would argue that they might just pass a little bit more last year, you know, this year rather, because, you know, they did pass the least amount of times. They only passed 427 times. And when you're passing about the same amount as the Tennessee Titans are, you're not passing very much. So that's just to play devil's advocate there. That's probably going to level out some. They're probably not going to be second in rushing and last in passing this year. But I get what you're saying. There's something to believe in with Rashad Penny. I think there's a little bit of that risk baked in though, where he is. I think he's been rising, but if he rises too much further beyond the RB25, solidly inside that RB2 range next to like the guys we were talking about earlier, like the Max and the Aaron Jones and things like that, I'm going to be less inclined to get excited about Penny. But where would you say you would kind of stop in believing? Like, would you just stop believing, stop buying on Penny if he kind of crept up even higher in average draft position?
Oh, wow. I mean, geez. I mean, I think you can make an argument on Penny with pretty much any back up to, I mean, geez. In our RotoViz rankings, you can make a reasonable argument with any back up to like the Kerryon Johnson range. You really can. I mean, our RotoViz ranking team, which obviously consists of more than us, has Darius Geis at 15. I mean, I don't think arguing Rashad Penny versus Darius Geis is unreasonable or unrealistic. I mean, I think that's a very fair debate to have. I mean, some of the other guys that are between Penny and Johnson in our RotoViz rankings include guys like Philip Lindsay, undrafted free agent superstar, Aaron Jones, Devonta Freeman, who's a concussion away from, you know, anonymity. Derrick Henry probably deserves to be in front of Penny at this point based on what we know, what we feel more solid about what his role this year is going to be. But I mean, Josh Jacobs. If Rashad Penny was drafted this year,
yeah,
Josh Jacobs is not the RB1 except for film nuts. Rashad Penny's the RB1 in the class. Maybe there would be a debate for some, but there would be no argument on the production profile. I mean, that would be blasphemous.
If you put him ahead of Penn, where would that be? He would be like running back 14 then, right?
Something yeah, that's what I'm that saying.
Range. Yeah. Okay.
Rashad Penny ran a 4.46 at 220 pounds last year. He has a 93rd percentile speed score.
So if he puts it all together this year, we shouldn't be surprised, is what you're saying.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I think his immaturity last year showed. Yeah. Pete Carroll doesn't have patience for that. Pete Carroll's been, I mean, famously impatient with rookies. And, you know, they've got to wait their turn and, you know, they got to carry the shoulder pads. And that's just kind of, you know, the type of guy that he is. Rashad Penny showed up at camp at 236 pounds last year, too. He didn't help himself with that. He showed up 16 pounds heavier than he was at the combine. You know, everything that we're hearing this year is that the maturity's there. That he understands the system. It's his second year in the system now. He showed back up at camp in the 220-pound range. So I think this guy learned how to be a pro. He came from a non-Power 5 school that didn't have – I mean, you're not going to have the same rigor in that program as you're going to have in an Alabama, for example. So I think – I mean, I can buy into the narratives of why that year didn't go the way it should have. But, I mean, Penny had flashes. He had flashes in games. I mean, some of the plays that he made – are not plays, you know, they're plays that like 5-6 guys in the league can make, reversing field and still taking it to the house.
Yeah.
So he showed us what he can do. I'm not saying that, you know, he's an RB1 this year, but there are a lot of other things that would surprise me in fantasy football, a lot less. than Rashad Penny finding his way to extreme relevance this year. So I'm all in, man. I already owned some Penny. I went out and bought some more Penny recently. It's in a 16-team league, so you got to keep this in mind. It's a strong team. It's going to be a playoff team. You know, I'm projecting this team to finish in the top four in the league. So you're talking about a draft pick that's going to be in the 13 to 16 range in next year's rookie draft. I traded my 2021 or my 2020 first away, and I added my 2021 second. Now you got to kind of adjust because of where the picks are here. So I'm kind of valuing this as I traded a pair of seconds for Rashad Penny, but yeah, I mean, just visually trading a first and a second for Rashad Penny. There's some people that, you know, accusing me of overpaying on Twitter when I posted that one, but yeah, I mean, my money's where my mouth is on this. I just don't see why people can't see the upside with him. I mean, to me, he's an easy target to buy right now when you look at the other guys that are in the range. So I'll get off the soapbox now. Yeah, but that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, plus, I mean, once you get down that far, you're looking at, you know, you're in the 30s for running backs, you know, once you get very far at all in terms of ADP. So not much to ask there for a return on that investment for sure. But Darius Geis, you mentioned him, and he's around pick, you know, 40.5. A lot of people hoping that in year two, he kind of takes off. You know, the Redskins drafted Bryce Love. Some people still like Bryce Love. They want to see him do something. I mean, he wasn't an early pick, but there's some belief that he could actually do something there. But are you believing that Darius Geis is going to be worth that type of price?
I really don't know the answer, man. I mean, I think Adrian Peterson's still going to be involved. To me, everything that is informing my stance on Geis. I should clarify, I don't own any shares of Darius Geis. He's not on any of my teams. I haven't tried to buy him. If the team was sure on Darius Geis, do they keep a 35-year-old Adrian Peterson around this year? This team's building. This team has Dwayne Haskins and Case Keenum at quarterback. I mean, Adrian Peterson doesn't belong anywhere near the backfield on this type of team. They went out and drafted a pair of running backs and Bryce Love, if he had come out after 2017, I mean, he was probably a first round pick. You know, we talked about knee injuries earlier, but I mean, Bryce Love has an excellent collegiate production profile.
Yeah, only 2,100 yards.
he had an insane year, and Bryce Love wrote an article in the Players Tribune this April. And he says he's going to be running 4.3 easy again. And if you guys haven't read this Players Tribune article from Bryce Love, you got to go read it. I mean, this guy, grade A+ character rating, and I mean, he is dialed in. He's ready to go. He's going to carve himself out a role, and I think he's going to earn third down or change the pace role. So I don't think Geis is going to be a clear bell cow, even if Adrian Peterson were gone. But when you listen to Adrian Peterson talk, he sounds like he thinks he's got a pretty big role this year. So I don't know. I think Geis is overpriced for what he's – yeah. Geis is overpriced for what he's going to do this year. I mean, I still think, obviously, you know, he's a guy that is extremely talented and has a lot of fans, and I think being – a running back one in dynasty at some point is in his range of outcomes, but he's going to have more of an uphill battle now than I think he had when he entered the league last year.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I mean, Bryce Love and that we could do a podcast just on like players coming out early and versus going back to school and all that. But Bryce Love coming off that 2,100 yard season, he really should have come out because he had such a hype train, and he would have killed it at the combine. He could have just run the 40 and then sat down and been done. And so I really hope he gets his speed back. I really hope he stays healthy. I'm not a believer in Bryce Love staying healthy at all. Even when he was quote-unquote healthy in his bigger season, he was coming off the field like hobbling some and then taking a snap and then off and then coming back in. So I don't know what's going to happen with Bryce Love. I don't believe Adrian Peterson is going to have a role. I want to project Darius Geis, but it's really just speculation at this point because there's a bunch of people that think it's they're going to be their job, and probably one or two of them are going to be wrong. So Geis, his price is probably about at its ceiling right now, or at least what's going to return this year. I'm right there with you. But beyond this year, you know, after Adrian Peterson is done and after Bryce Love possibly gets hurt again, hopefully not, you know, there can be major value spikes in either direction for any of these guys. But Darius Geis, I think he's kind of capped right now. But moving on to a couple other guys from last year that, you know, they were going the first round. I mean, you got Royce Freeman. Maybe he wasn't always a first rounder. Ronald Jones, in most spots, I think he was still a first rounder just because the implied opportunity that it looked like it was going to be a great spot when he was drafted initially. And then camp reports happened. But Ronald Jones, Royce Freeman, those guys still hanging around in the 30s in terms of rankings and ADP right now. But if you had to bet on one of those two to be an impact player that would break out, that we should go by collectively as a community right now, who would you go with?
Out of Royce Freeman and Ronald Jones?
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think the upside play, Ronald Jones probably has more fantasy upside right now, only because I think we've got a new coaching regime, a chance for a new start, and the potential for a true bell cow role there. I like Royce Freeman. Royce Freeman was effective when he was used last year and unfortunately got derailed by that early season injury after he looked so good in the first month of the season. But now that we've got Philip Lindsay to compete with him, and I mean, Philip Lindsay took the league by storm. I mean, the actual NFL, not just fantasy leagues, he's going to have a role no matter what, a substantial role. I mean, I think an ideal usage of those two probably looks something like Lindsay getting 10 to 12 touches a game, limiting them and hoping for those splash plays and letting Freeman get the smaller chunks and be the chain mover. That might not have as much value for fantasy unless he locks down like every goal line touch. And that, you know, those types of backs become harder to project. And so Ronald Jones, I think, has more upside, but his floor is clearly much lower. I mean, Royce Freeman has showed that he is he belongs in the NFL and he's deserving of touches. Ronald Jones had 23 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown. Now, to be fair, he was hit in the backfield on 13 of those 23 touches. But, I mean, we're stretching here. You know, the guy had 23 touches in his inaugural season. I mean, he was a scratch in many, many games last year. So we're hoping, bizarre. it really was. I mean, I just can't even – I don't know that I've seen anything like it. I mean, just the pure lack of effectiveness, and the team just pretty much showed total disregard for him. I mean, it's almost like he wasn't drafted.
Yeah, it was really strange. I mean, and the guy ahead of him wasn't drafted.
Yeah, I mean, and Peyton Barber's he's the epitome of just a guy, but he ended up even being, you know, fairly valuable to fantasy owners, and I mean, was definitely startable in stretches in 2018. So, you know, but it's a new regime, and the team has a new running backs coach, Todd McNair, coming over from some history at USC. Of course, back in, I think, the Reggie Bush days was part of all that debacle and hasn't had many jobs since then. But I liked what he had to say about Ronald Jones and the team's last presser, that, you know, he's putting in the work. He thinks it's just like hand placement, little issues like that. And he said he really just thinks that Ronald Jones never got the confidence to really bust out. When you get hit in the backfield, you're used to getting these wide open lanes in USC and just frolicking out into open space. And now you're having to deal with a little adversity. So Ronald Jones was a young prospect. Ronald Jones gets a chance to prove himself. The team's invested. You know, I just drafted a share of him in the late ninth round in a dynasty startup. I'm not a big Ronald Jones fan, but to me, that's a dart I'll throw. And the late ninth round, a guy that I think does have it within him to become an RB2 at some point, perhaps as early as this year if he can win this job outright. So, but of the two, I'll give the edge to Ronald Jones an upside. If you're a risk-averse player, Royce Freeman probably a safer investment.
I'm right there with you. They're right in my rankings. They're right in the same tier. But I would probably, in that range of a draft and a startup, I'm probably going to be going for a player that I believe has a higher ceiling, has the higher potential for a return in a role. It was really weird. I got the opportunity to go to the joint practices last year with the Buccaneers and the Titans, and it just was so odd. He fumbled the ball more than once at one of the practices I was there, and you could just sense even his teammates and the crowd, even some of the Bucs fans that had made their way to the practice were just like, oh, come on, man. Like, they want him to succeed. So I feel like the team, they want him to be a thing. But last year, he just wasn't there. Like you said, he was super young. I think he was 20 when he was drafted. So it's just plenty of time for him to grow up and find himself in the NFL this year. Hopefully it is this year. But before we kind of sign off, a few other guys that may be longer shots to have a bell cow type role. But want to hit on Nyheim Hines, Kalen Ballage, Ito Smith, guys that flashed at times last year for whatever reason, in very different ways, really. But projecting where they're going to be in the very near future is kind of a difficult task. Like, Nyheim Hines was kind of a target monster last year. In fact, in full PPR leagues, he actually, I'm pretty sure he was just outside of an RB2 in some of my leagues, some of my formats. So he's solidified himself as like an RB3 in fantasy in many scoring formats last year. Do we think that repeats? Do we think that we even want, that kind of ceiling, if that's a ceiling? For me, I'm struggling to invest in a player like Hines because they still have Mac, they still have Wilkins and him. There's just a whole lot of mess in that backfield to already compete with. And then even beyond just this year, you have the people that assume Marlon Mack is still going to be replaced by a 2020 back or whatever. We're going to be saying that for the next 10 years until it finally happens. But Nyheim Hines, he's just not somebody I get super excited about. And I don't know if you're in a different camp than I am.
I think until the 2019 NFL draft happened, he was a player that I thought, maybe he could have like a Sproulsian type role for Frank Reich moving forward. Marlon Mack, the bell cow. Nyheim Hines becomes like this hyper-efficient guy that is a big part of the offense in the passing game and has the big plays and gets enough carry opportunity to be relevant. I think the big problem for me now is Paris Campbell, because Nyheim Hines did get split out last year, and I think Paris Campbell was a more electric version of what the team did with Nyheim Hines. And so that's the problem for me. I don't think he sees anywhere near his 81 targets. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that he had 81 targets last year. I mean, he out-targeted guys like Doug Baldwin last year. He out-targeted Tyler Lockett last year. He out-targeted Deion Lewis last year. A guy that, we know is a receiving back. I mean, 81 target. I mean, he was very involved. I mean, that's 5 targets a game. So that's going to lead to a lot of production, but I just don't see it being a repeatable thing. His value now is tied more to a Marlon Mack injury or lack of effectiveness. And so at running back 47 and startups, that's actually right where the RotoViz team has him ranked at RB 47 as well. That feels about right. I think he's certainly roster worthy. Probably not a guy I'm going to be drafting in startups, but if he were available as a throw-in or something like that in a deal, I'd be happy to have him on my team.
Yeah, and he's going right ahead of the other two I mentioned as well. And they're guys that may be more prototypical running backs in terms of their body and their potential for a greater role, if something else does go wrong, or maybe even if it doesn't. Kalen Ballage, he's going around pick 140, like 138, I think it is. Running back 50 in startups right now. Ito Smith, running back 48, right behind Nyheim Hines. And, Ito Smith, all he has to do is compete with Devontae Freeman. And you already mentioned earlier, Devontae Freeman's concussion history is just flat out scary. To own him in Dynasty, it's you better own Ito Smith or any other backup there, because if anything goes wrong there, Ito's in for a huge chunk of opportunity. So I think between those two, I would much prefer Ito Smith over Nyheim Hines. Are you there with me as well?
Oh, certainly. And the Falcons have shown a lot of willingness to involve two running backs. I think they will protect Freeman. Freeman got the big deal a couple years ago. And they also drafted Kadri Allison, but is more of a banger. He's going to take touches from Freeman, not Ito Smith.
Yeah.
So, I like Ito Smith. I probably like Ito Smith more than Nyheim Hines, and I definitely like him more than Kalen Ballage. I think out of the three being fantasy relevant in 2019, of these three, I would expect his ADP to rise if any of them do have a rise. I think with Ballage, the difference is, you know, he thinks that he's competing with Kenyon Drake for that starting role. And so if Ballage is able to upset him, I mean, you know, I like, you know, this all tongue in cheek. I don't think Ballage can usurp Kenyon Drake there, but he's going to get the chance. I think he's going to get the chance. It's a new regime. If he did, then certainly he would have a precipitous rise. But I just don't think that's who Kalen Ballage is. I don't think Kalen Ballage is a particularly good running back. I don't think he was a particularly good prospect. And I think Kenyon Drake's done nothing but produce in a highly efficient manner every time he's been given the chance to do it. And Kenyon Drake now has a regime who knows how to use a guy with some of his skills. I mean, look what they did with James White in New England. And I think Kenyon Drake has a little bit of overlap and some skills there, except he's just a better runner carrying the ball as well. So I'm definitely in camp Drake and don't think that Ballage will emerge, but his upside probably the highest out of these three backs. But again, Ito Smith, my target of the three.
Yeah, and I mean, I love to watch Kalen Ballage and watch Kalen Ballage highlights at Arizona State or whatever. But the truth of the matter is he wasn't a great running back prospect coming out of college. And even if you look at his numbers last year, it looks great on paper, just, you know, whole season numbers. We were talking about this before the show, 36 carries for 191 yards. Not very big sample size, but that's over 5 yards per carry. But then you have to look at it, and it's basically, I mean, he had one play that went for 75 yards. And on his other 35 carries, he averaged just over 3 yards per carry. And that's basically exactly who he was in college, too. And it's just more the same.
Good? Is that good, 3 yards a carry? Can you remind me?
You know,
is that a good?
You know, I can double check. I mean, I could just... I was thinking it wasn't. But, you know, and really, he's a better receiver than getting, you know, 11 targets on the gear. I would love them to actually utilize him as a receiver, because I think he demonstrated that he could do that some, even maybe better than he could run the ball in college, and being a huge bodied person catching the ball and maybe on a swing route here and there. I'd love to see more of that action, but I'm not sure that that's just how he's going to be deployed. So obviously I think he belongs behind both these guys, because I'm not sure of any role that's going to be really trustworthy this year. And it really kind of, to me, and I guess to the whole Rotoviz team, based on the current rankings, there basically has to be an injury for him to have much of a role this year. And that stinks to say, because he's such a fun player, albeit not maybe a great running back talent, but he's just a fun athlete to see do stuff. But that doesn't translate to fantasy points all the time.
He's the Cordarrelle Patterson of running backs, is what you're telling me.
You know what? Cordarrelle Patterson is a much better running back than Kalen Ballage. Let's be real.
Yeah,
I think his yards per carry is about double, just about. But that's probably about all the time we have tonight. We got to end on the Cordarrelle Patterson of running backs. I don't think the rest of the show is just going to go down from here. So it's been fun talking about some running backs. We'll get back to some rookie talk. We'll jump into some, I'm sure, in the world, we'll get to some college players and even some more Debbie talk at some point here soon. But really just enjoying the calm before the storm, because, it's that time of year where there's not really going to be a bunch of new information. But I think this is the perfect time where we can take advantage of these value gaps and really dive into what we think a player's value is. And so that's exactly why we're having this discussion tonight. So thanks for joining me again, Curtis, to help, you know, just figure out what these running backs could look like, second-year players. And listeners, definitely always check out, if you are still, you know, maybe you haven't had your rookie draft yet, you can still check out the rookie guide and more info at dynastycommandcenter.com. And, you know, you can always hop in our premium Slack. It's a great community full of fellow Dynasty players that are having their rookie drafts right now. They're having their startup drafts right now. We're always having discussions like the ones we're having on this podcast in this chat. It's a great place to be. But Curtis, thanks again for joining me this week. And listeners, you can find him on Twitter at CPatrickNFL. I'm Travis May at FF_TravisM. Thanks again for joining us for another Dynasty Command Center podcast. And until next time, keep living that Dynasty life.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.